This is TWiT.
Of course, a lot of people who weren't using Zoom all of a sudden are using Zoom, which is, I would guess, the number one video conferencing technology. Zoom says they went from 10 million daily active users in December to 200 million last month. And of course, as a result, we're seeing all sorts of problems.
First of all, that's crazy numbers, by the way, before we get into the problems.
Yeah.
I mean, when have you heard of a platform going from 10 to 200 in a month?
Not since Facebook.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the last time we've seen that type of growth, right? Would be Facebook. And even then, I don't know if you saw that uptick that quickly.
Yeah.
Potentially, once they kind of hit their stride and were going to more and more places, maybe you did. Like, maybe once they really started investing in Asia and South America. But... that's probably the last time we've.
How did
I've
Zoom
ever
win this?
Like that.
It seems like there were. Was Zoom the number one choice in business? I mean, what about Cisco WebEx?
No.
Or GoToMeeting?
No,
or Microsoft Teams?
It's ease of use.
It's
just
what
I think it is.
Yeah.
It's ease of use,
and really
it's relatively cheap.
Right.
Sorry, go on.
That's the problem, though, is it was so easy to use that that's why they're running into these problems. And some of the people are saying that some of the fixes that they're trying to do now are going to be kind of shooting themselves in the foot, because even doing something simple like having a password to join a Zoom call is going to make it more difficult for people to use.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting story. Zoom bombing is now a federal offense that could result in imprisonment. I don't know if that's reduced the number of Zoom bombs. Federal prosecutors are saying that if it was posted as a press release to the Department of Justice website under the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of some state, with support from the State Attorney General and the FBI, probably New York. I would guess that the most aggressive in something like this. Zoom bombing is a big problem for schools, for churches. I have a friend in a 12-step program, a recovery program, and of course they can't meet in person anymore. They do their meetings as Zoom meetings, and because they're public, of necessity, anybody can come in, and people are doing horrific, offensive, triggering things. Not just pornography, not just racial epithets, but intentionally going after alcoholics, things like that. It's just appalling, and it's my understanding that a lot of the organizing is going on. I'm sure it's happening at 4chan, 9chan. Discourse is being used. There's a discourse channel for Zoom bombing where they share public IDs for Zoom events so that they can all have so much fun. It's just shocking, really, how awful some people can be.
Yeah, it's funny. My mom sent me an email. I guess this was maybe Tuesday this week, maybe Wednesday. We were, I think, in the middle of either the first or the second wave of Zoom scandals of the week. And her Bible study is going to be using Zoom, and she wanted to know. She was like, should I use this? Maybe I don't want to bother with it at all.
Yeah.
And so I sent her a detailed thing. I took the time to take the screenshots and go through the process. I was like, this is how you can join from your web browser. Just that's going to be your best bet. You know, don't sign up for an account. Don't do the other things. But I was really proud of her, A, for reading and keeping up on it, and B, asking, okay, what's the best way for me to
be
do
hard
this?
To miss the news. It's all over the place. Because everybody's using it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It definitely. But still, I'm still proud of my mom for wanting to know how can I mitigate it? Even asking the question, should I be using this? And part of me wants to be no, don't use this at all. And then another part of me is but I don't want you to miss out on being able to connect with people. You know, that's to me, I think, the hard thing about having the advice to just be, don't use this product. If you're an enterprise or a school or something, I think that's one thing where maybe you should appeal to the higher authorities who make those decisions to say, have you actually vetted this? But if the decision's already been made and this is what your school is using or your Bible study or your, AA meeting or something else, that's what they're choosing to do. It's a really, I think, not fair thing to say to regular people, well, just opt out of this. Just don't use this right. communications. It's the same thing when people say, oh, well, just don't be on Facebook,
right.
You know, where it's like, okay, that's really, that comes from a really privileged
it's
position to be
privilege.
Able to make that point.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the thing about Zoom, look, there's still lots of great things about Zoom. It's funny, we used to have, up until the last couple of years, I've even been saying really until the last like 18 to 24 months when Zoom has kind of gotten much more popular, we used to have this joke for the last four or five years of, you know, we've got self-driving cars, but we still can't get a video call to work and we still can't get a PowerPoint, you know, and Zoom really has kind of solved that. It has gotten to where it's made these things easy enough that you can get a lot of people connected. I agree with Christina. People shouldn't be too freaked out about it. Obviously, the NSA shouldn't be using it for, and some companies that are doing corporate secrets. You know, you saw SpaceX say that they're, they banned it. Well, that makes sense. They're dealing with highly proprietary and sensitive information, right? That deals with their core business. So that makes perfect sense. For the average people, you know, stuff, I had a friend that yesterday did their on their Zoom. They did a their sister's baby shower, and it was amazing. And she talked about the fact that what it's enabling them to do. And I did one, this wonderful organization called Interfaith Paths to Peace, because a lot of a lot of religious organizations, they don't really have tech departments. And so this organization has helped sort of provide a platform using Zoom where people of different faiths can come together and, have fellowship and be able to worship together and get inspiration. So there's great things that are going on with Zoom. The thing where the onus is the people who are hosting these meetings, they just need to implement a few good things. Brian mentioned the password thing, which now Zoom is kind of imposing. You can still send somebody a Zoom link with that password essentially embedded in that link. And so it makes it easy for them to just click and join. But if somebody's doing that random looking, you know, typing in random Zoom numbers or finding, you know, random Zoom rooms to jump into, they can't get in if they don't have the password. And even then, if you set up a waiting room, the host of a Zoom can help kind of screen people. And if they see people that are jumping in and are being inappropriate, you can hit the remove or, you know, jump them back to the waiting room if for some reason it's somebody you don't recognize. So there's plenty of ways to mitigate this for most people that are using Zoom. It's just that the people who are using it and were considering using it to do very proprietary things, they obviously need to think twice about it. But by the same token, it's still better than like we used to do these calls where, you know, you have your number, you dial into an 800 number and then you put in your corporate sort of number, 9-digit ID. Well, the thing is, we never knew who was on those calls. With Zoom, at least right. You can see who is on there. And so it is generally even more secure, even as insecure as it is right now, the problems it has with encryption and those kinds of things, it's still a step up from the average conference call.
But my question is because, you know, we've been talking about consumers using this, but the question that I have is, you know, usually you see problems like this when you have a consumer product try to move into enterprise. This is an enterprise product that's suddenly being used by consumers, right. But there are all these security issues. Where were the CIOs and CTOs? Where was everybody like checking out all of the security problems that Zoom had before this?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I actually disagree. I disagree with Zoom. Zoom says that they were an enterprise product that is now being used by consumers. I will say I think that's patently false, and I think they're being misleading when they say that. They may have had some specific enterprise, you know, implementations. Like apparently they have one for HIPAA, but the vast majority of the times that I was using Zoom was either for small teams things. I saw a lot of startups using it, individuals kind of wanting an easy way to set up conferencing systems, or hobbyists, you know. So I think that really most of their users before this were small businesses, startups, maybe medium-sized business, places that don't have CIOs and CTOs that are going to be looking at.
Yeah, the big businesses had WebEx. They would use the big Cisco conferencing systems. Much more expensive, much more complicated, but better quality.
So I don't think it was... Yeah, exactly. It's very much like Slack in that sense. And a lot of people use Slack and Zoom together. And so I actually reject their statement that it was enterprise, because I don't think it was. If it was enterprise, to your point, Brian, we wouldn't have seen some of these things, because that would have been a complete, like, you know, breaker. What I think has happened, though, is that as there were companies, even big companies, that might not have had solutions that worked for this number of people, like one of the big, frankly, like the secret sauce of Zoom, not just its ease of use, but also its quality and its relative ease for having very large groups of video chat working together in a way that WebEx and some of the other solutions just can't do. And to my knowledge, they're still the only, you know, solution where you can see kind of everyone's video at once in that kind of style. And I know that some other products are working at bringing that type of feature up, but they're the only one who does it.
There's a great open source solution that I use called Jitsi. And I set up in about 10 minutes, I set up a Jitsi server at home that we use.
But how many people can you do with that? How many people can you do with that? Because I've heard that it really caps out around 12 or 13. And so that would be my only, like, remark. Because I'm talking about people who might need, like, 20 or more.
It depends on bandwidth that you have available to it. It can do 100 people easily. In fact, I've seen bandwidth tests with Jitsi. It's very light on the CPU usage. It's really about bandwidth. The thing to remember with any service is, for a video service to work, especially in the way you want, where you have the grid of people, you have to have it unencrypted at the server side. And so when Zoom says it's end-to-end encrypted, it's not in the same way we understand end-to-end, which means no one can see it except the participants. Zoom can see it. Jitsi's the same way. It's encrypted. But at some point, the server needs to coordinate, so it needs to be unencrypted. But the beauty is Jitsi is it's open source. You can run your own server, and then it is fully private. There's no one can see it. It has some of the same problems Zoom would have. You still have to set up a password if you want to protect it. And that's the big problem for churches, for schools, maybe not so much schools, but certainly for churches and recovery groups and groups that want to be public. You can set up a waiting room. You can do all sorts of things, but ultimately you can't lock it down because you want anybody who be able, you know, who wants to come to the meeting, come to the meeting. And so that's the problem people are having. And that would be the same problem with, I think, any service.
I first hated Zoom months ago
when they had that problem, and a security researcher warned them about this with malware. They installed on the Mac a web server, a hidden web server that would run all the time on your Mac. Their idea was, of course, that you should be able to just click a link and Zoom would launch. But this hidden web server did not go away when you uninstalled Zoom. It stayed there, again, so that even if you uninstalled Zoom, you click a link, Zoom behind the scenes does what it needs to do to get a thing going. And hackers discovered it and started using it to inject malware into Macintoshes. Zoom had been warned about this, dragged their feet fixing it. Apple finally had to push out a fix on their own. Apple actually had to push out a malware fix on Macintoshes because Zoom wouldn't fix it. Now, Zoom says, in their credit, I guess, that they're going to stop. They said this week. They're going to stop working on new features. Everybody on the Zoom team is going to work on privacy and security features. So I guess the proof will be in the pudding. But I lost faith in Zoom when they claimed end-to-end encryption when that wasn't the case, and when they didn't fix the server problem. And, of course, then there have been other reported issues. The iOS version sent data to Facebook because they used a Facebook SDK. Zoom stopped doing that. But they only seem to stop this stuff after they get caught. They were routing calls through a China call center. They said, oops, we did that because we were so loaded up. Oops, we won't do that anymore. I don't know. I'm not against Zoom. By the way, we use it for all our sales calls. I've tried to get Lisa. I said, I have this great Jitsi server. You could use this. It even has our brand in the name because I set up a domain for it. I said, nah, Zoom. Everybody knows Zoom. Everybody knows Zoom. And it's hard to get people to use something else. So I'm hoping Zoom will step up. There's an opportunity here for them to step up.
I'm hoping they are too, but I'm with you. Look, when the thing happened last summer with them installing the web server, and honestly, it was their response to that that really bothered me more than it was even the act itself. Yes. That initially they barred the security researcher. They wouldn't communicate. They tried to kind of sweep it under the rug, say that it wasn't a big deal. And then once they were properly chastened, they had a belated apology. And the whole thing put a bad taste in my mouth. And
it was very Facebook-y.
Very much so.
And move fast, break things, apologize later, then keep doing it.
And our team had been using Zoom. And after that, we were like, we're done. We're not using this anymore. And so I was done with it then. But if someone else wants to use it for something, I'm not going to be like zealous about like, oh, I refuse to use the system you want to do. What bothers me now, though, and this is the thing that bothers me from all the different issues they've had, is that A, I think that one of the reasons that we're seeing this is because they've gone from 10 million to 200 million users. Yeah. So they're getting an outsized amount of attention. And I think if you put this attention on any sort of service, you would see, you would also be able to find flaws, right? But the thing that bothers me is that they have this amazing differentiator. In the IRC right now, we're kind of all talking about how the system hasn't changed in 22 years and they're all terrible. And that's basically true. Zoom has been the first thing that works really well. It's easy to set up. I think the reason you saw businesses, enterprises who maybe normally would have gone through a stronger vetting process, not go through that process, is they suddenly had to be remote for the first time and needed to support a large number of people and just started with it, right? So I think that's another reason why it's had so much adoption. But they have this huge differentiator. They are easy to use. It's well done. It has good features. It's high quality. That's something that is a massive differentiator. And rather than using that as the selling point, and rather than using that as what they want to focus on, everything that they've done, it seems like, has been in, you know, search of like sort of growth hacking and kind of cutting corners. And it makes me question a lot of fundamental things about the company. I love the product, but I'm not, to be totally honest, I'm not convinced by even the latest blog post that the CEO put out. I don't really feel like I believe anything. I don't feel like they have proven themselves to be trustworthy, which is so disappointing because this is genuinely a product that is head and shoulders ahead of the competition. And I feel like they're squandering a lot of this by going after ways to growth hack.
A lot of the things that make Zoom good, Jitsi does. For instance, Jitsi uses a more modern protocol, WebRTC, which means you don't have to install any software. If you're using Chrome, it's just a link,
right,
and it does it in Chrome without any additional software. And that's really nice. That really is easy to use.
And I look, in Jitsi, that's great. I think if we're being honest, the setup process of people getting started with Jitsi Meet, whether they use that service or set up their own instance.
You don't have to set up anything. I could send you a link right now and you could use it in your browser. No setup. You're just in. That's pretty easy.
Right. But I mean, like if you're a business and you want to set up your own instance is what I meant. Like if you wanted to control.
Yeah, but you don't have to. Like they offer a free version. And honestly, if you've got Debian running or any Debian derivative running, it's a simple apt install Jitsi Meet. You're done. It does Let's Encrypt automatically. You're done. It was so easy for me to set up. It was trivial. I agree. Many businesses aren't going to want to do that, but you don't have to do that. I could set up. Watch. I'll send you a link right now. You can try it. Go to Twitter.
I would be cautious about whether Jitsi could support 200 million daily active users.
Should we see? Let's see. twit.team/twit. Let's just see. I'm going to set it up. Secure connection failed. Uh-oh. Maybe not. Never mind. We'll do this another time. I don't know what happened there.